From prairies to mountains, pine forests to deserts, the river deltas to their headwaters. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour. From Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day: too much wind-generated electrical power as a percentage of grid resources in Texas, and once again, it's endangering the Texas economic miracle and human life. It is time the winds of change blow toward reliable generation. This is a regulated market, and it's time for big moves. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable drug and alcohol testing programs for businesses and institutions. And you truckers and fleet owners, I know you need help, and third-party administrators with your DOT testing and that clearinghouse, all that stuff. Allied Compliance Services is your buddy there. They've been doing it for a long time. They're expert, and their customers tell me they're great. AlliedCompliance.com. I'm going to spend a segment at least today talking about the Port of Brownsville and another little small port and things related to that out of South Texas, and sort of a look around Texas. I've always liked to do that to let people realize that, you know, 700, 800 miles away, there are major industries that you don't even think about in your hometown, but are critical to Texas being the giant that it is, my friends. We've got border-related news and much more ahead. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Well, no doubt most of you have heard. I mean, there are a few of you still lucky to live in the Southwest Power Pool, but even the compound, it's all the ERCOT now. I don't have a problem with ERCOT. I mean, I like the fact that Texas has an intrastate grid that the feds don't control, and that makes all the big government people around the country angry. The fact of the matter is, though, all you're hearing, you know, wall to wall is, and I mean, and it's serious record temperature, but I've explained this before, that often when you have high pressured systems that just sit, and by the way, I've said this exact same thing. I saw it quoted in a bunch of news stories today about dome of high pressure. It's as if a dome settled over us. What you get during those peak times, just as you see with peak clear sky cold often, after the front blows through with big winds, and then the cold settles in, as we saw in the big freeze, you get no wind. And that's where we stand. And this is a real problem out there. The Electric Reliability Council, ERCOT, has told everybody, you know, it's wall-to-wall media coverage, especially in the afternoon. And by the way, if you follow that, like I do those little graphs, you'll find that when everybody gets home after work, that really is peak time. That's a time, seriously, when there are problems, that is a time not to do anything till it gets a little later. Don't turn on all the big stuff. And by the way, let this be a lesson once again to everybody that wants us to have electric cars. My gosh, they're telling you not, you know, don't use your washer and dryer and some big appliances just for a few hours in the middle of the hottest part of this record-setting heat day today. Can you? I realize that we now live in a country that's been really, I don't know how to put it, I don't want to say anything too nasty, but our public education system isn't much of an education system anymore. Go around and ask. People don't know what amps are and all the things you're supposed to learn in physical science. But do you realize that if we, even Elon Musk, who owns Tesla, pointed out at one time, not that long ago, that if you just had a fairly small percentage more electric cars out there, the grid would collapse everywhere. It's not ERCOT, the whole national. There's no way to do this stuff. It's all pie-in-the-sky utopianism. You don't think that a fast charger on a vehicle isn't pulling a heck of a lot more amperage than running a washing machine or something? Anyway, just, you know, in the ERCOT statement for today, and they're being very, you know, after the big political fallout and the loss of life and everything and the big freeze, they're going well beyond what they used to do on these alerts. Although being in the media, I've always seen these alerts. But they pointed out you got two main things for this afternoon and between 2 and 8 p.m. You got record high electric demand. A lot of that is just we have grown massively. We have grown a lot since last summer in Texas. You got a lot of people here. We're an economic miracle. We have massive industry and everything else. It's not just air conditioners. I mean, it's going on everywhere. And then what's the second reason? Quoting right from their deal, low wind. While solar power is generally reaching near full generation capacity, wind generation is currently generating significantly less than what it historically generated in this time period. Current projections show wind generation coming in at less than 10% of its capacity. And that's getting written up in a few places. I've noticed the mainstream media tries to bury or doesn't even focus on this at all. It's just more about how precarious the grid is and, you know, well, we need to tie up with the feds and we need to let them have control over us and all of that. But places like Breitbart has it right. Texas tells consumers conserve electricity as wind energy falls short. Brad Johnson at the Texan.news, no surprise, writes a very good piece. And it's not anti-wind or anti-solar. It's just good journalism. High demand and low wind output spark ERCOT conservation appeal. System-wide outages not expected. And he points about that, they quoting here, that second factor, wind's failure to produce substantially when temperatures rise and grid's demand peaks, is a consistent theme of Texas power grid. The ERCOT grid has about 35,000 megawatts of installed wind capacity, which is... It's sort of like you, if you don't, you know, if you're more normal, you don't really like getting out of bed early every morning, and you're not one of those guys, you know, we all know a few. I mean, they're up at 4, and they're going, they work 3 jobs, and they never get tired, and they just love it all. But if you're like most people, you know, you're kind of slow to get up in the morning, you do work, you do well in your life, but you're tired at night and all that, you know, it's like... That's what this capacity thing is. It's sort of like the bubbly little career coach who pops into... Oh, I met one of those guys, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, full-time. Oh, anyway, sorry. Bubbly guy, you know, he comes in. Well, you know, if you got up at 4 and you got to the office at 6:30, I went through all that training back when I was young, you know, the Nightingale Conant tapes and everything and all the speakers. And you got there at 7:30 and you did this and you did this. I mean, my gosh, you'd have 3 times more working time than anybody, blah, blah, blah. That's, you know, and it's not going to happen. That's this thing about wind capacity. It's just a figure on paper. It doesn't seem to match reality. And says that... It tends to produce the wind the highest overnight when demand on the grid wanes, but it's often underperformed solar generation, which has less than a third of the installed capacity during hot summer afternoons. Of course, in winter, the solar often doesn't do well. It just depends. On Sunday, wind production shrank to less than 3% of its installed capacity at one point yesterday. In the conservation appeal, ERCOT stated the forecasted peak demand today will be 79,671. By the way, you're hearing a lot of stuff. The fact is thermal generation, the people that can turn it on and off, you know, natural gas, coal, that kind of thing, they are expected the dispatchable power to produce at least 85% of installed capacity whereas wind went down to 3% once yesterday. Solar's supposed to be pretty good, 81%, but again, it's off and on. You never know. Wind's supposed to only be 8% today. All right. You legislators, I know the legislature's already spoken on some of this. I know the governor controls the PUC. It's time right now in the interim to work up the bills and just stop it. Let's put a stop to it. There's too much of this taxpayer-subsidized wind stuff everywhere. If you can install it, fine, but they're going to have to build gas plants and things that make this grid work, or else we will lose the Texas miracle, and it's time to act. Back in a moment.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Those of you listening in New Mexico and Oklahoma, we know you're all closet Texans at heart. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Now, here's the man himself, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. By the way, I'm always amazed at how people don't realize how real this pseudo-religion is of not having plentiful energy anymore, and how incredibly crazy these backers are of this, and where they will say black is white and white is black, or day is night and night is day. Great song, Night and Day, You Are the One. Anyway, just in their little cult, Simon Kent points out at Breitbart that the World Economic Forum released a position paper today that links the two claimed to be global crises together, climate change and the decline of democracy. No kidding. And in this big paper, the World Economic Forum paper, these are the big, rich, wealthy, you know, leading paper argues that for the past 15 years, democracy's been in decline. To protect and promote freedom, leading democracies must strengthen their economies and safeguard liberty. That sounds right, doesn't it? Except the time they say democracy's in decline is a time when we've been buying into their climate change stuff. And it impoverishes people. I mean, it literally impoverishes people. Energy is the basis of having refrigeration, clean food, having water that's clean. Energy, plentiful, inexpensive energy is everything. Everything from water and food to health care to everything. Freedom, democracy, anything like that. And you know what they argue in the paper? They argue that gas prices need to go higher, gasoline, to save democracy. I kid you not. And they argue compliance must be enforced. And we got to put taxes on all carbon things. And they said that the low carbon economy could put democracies in greater economic peril, not less. But it's funny. Oh, no. I'm sorry. See how the meaning changes when you short a sentence? Ignoring progress toward, quote, low carbon economies could put democracies at risk. Really? This is what the environmentalists believe, folks. The idea here is not to be more clean. The idea here is to starve the world of energy. And that's all there is to it. It's crazy. They claim that leading democracies, quoting from their paper at the World Economic Forum, leading democracies are making their economies more vulnerable through continued reliance on fossil fuels. Really? Really? Well, let's look around the world. I mean, this is insanity, and this is the point. It is far more insidious than the common man really seems willing to even look at, hear, and believe. And that's where it stands. And that's even in Texas with great leadership. We've had Republican governors, Perry and Abbott and other leaders, going to the press and bragging about how we all love this wind power and we've got more than any other state, even though y'all say we're the backwater, you know, fossil fuel. You know what? Quit doing that because you're putting the entire thing at risk. It's time we we tamp down on this stuff. Not that, you know, free market can't put stuff in, but it's not a free market when they're being subsidized. All right, now I've got other things to get to. 4-year-old dead after being attacked by a dog in southern Dallas Saturday. About 8 in the morning, she was bitten many times, taken to hospital and died. I know a lot of you think your animals are people and you can take them everywhere now. They are not. There are many people and people I know who don't want to even be close to them, who actually are so fearful you could never imagine. These are animals. I don't care how well trained they are, whatever. At some point, you know, it's like Rush used to say, a tiger's a tiger. And that's just the way it is. And this stuff needs to stop. I'm just sick. I'm sick of this everywhere I go. Not on leashes or anything. People have, and the dogs come up, jump up on you, ruin your clothes, straight, and they think it's funny. Learn some manners. Many people who have pets have manners, and they understand it. But there are a lot of people who don't. And let me tell you, you have full liability for anything your animal does. And you may lose your home or something over some of these things. We all live in neighborhoods. Many of us, we know there are always people around that don't, you know, their dogs are cute and they can come up and tear up your property, do whatever, be around without a leash. And you're supposed to just laugh and enjoy it. This little girl lost her life. We have these stories all year long. San Antonio, PD reporting that in the Alamo City Friday, a man in his late 80s, is an elderly couple, went in the hospital and apparently it was one of these, well, they call it murder-suicide, very likely at this age. They were both in their late 80s, very likely due to the health problems, probably might very well have been a mutually agreed-to thing. A person doing rounds found the two, the husband and wife. The wife was the patient there, shot to death. Nobody in the hospital heard the gunshots and no witnesses were found. But probably she used a pillow around some small firearm like a .22 or something. I don't know. Sad story. A bunch of Texas synagogues canceled services after threats to the Jewish community were reported to them by FBI and law enforcement in Texas. And every time I read one of these stories, I just think about reading the Old Testament and paying attention to modern-day Israel. And I think about, I'm not saying, yes, there are a lot of anti-Semites in this world. Mostly the world's liberals, the world's leftists are anti-Semites. And it's really, the leftist political movements have always been the most anti-Semitic, most anti-Jew. I mean, violently so, hate-filled. What's interesting is how many of the Jewish congregations in the United States of Americans are filled with left-leaning people. And I think about modern-day Israel. You know, you're so proud of the people and all of that and the history and together. Why are these, you know, and I remember that thing in Colleyville, that terrible deal where they went to training and they learned all these things. Why weren't they armed? I mean, it's just real simple. It ain't some Yahoo Texan telling you this. Take a look at where elementary school teachers are armed with automatic weapons in Israel. Why aren't you people armed? Yes, people hate you. Going back thousands of years, it's sin. It's the devil. Just as they're persecuting and massacring Christians in Nigeria right now and in other parts of the world. Why in the world can you... I'm just constantly shocked when I read these stories that how... They almost come across as pacifist. And you read Jewish history and the Talmud, you read all these things and you can't figure out where did all this leftist pacifism come from? It's certainly not very consistent with Jewish teaching, which is, you know, you don't go around starting it always, but you do with the job when it's needed. And in some cases, God's commanded you to go start it and get rid of people. I don't get it. I just saw that story and I just wanted to say that. I've been wanting to say it since that Colleyville deal. Why in the world are you guys not armed to the teeth? And I don't mean just hired security. Why are your members not armed? I can't imagine being a Jew, much less being, you know, my very best friend's is Jewish, whatever. He wouldn't think this way, but I'm not talking about just necessarily the average person. I'm talking about the person that's involved in the Anti-Defamation League, that's politically involved in all the, you know, the world Jewish movement, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the whole movement is based on the fact that everybody wants to kill you. So in a state like Texas, when we have the freedoms that we have here, praise be to God, Yahweh, why in the world are our Jewish congregations and the congregants not among some of the most armed and trained, you know, ready to use them people. They certainly are in Israel for the most part. Doesn't excuse the people going after them. It's just a point I wanted to make. I want to make it one time. That's it. I'll leave it alone. Now, Beto O'Rourke's going to do another one. He loves driving around and filming himself. I guess that's the thing, because that's all he seems to have ever done politically, is drive around. You know, even though he's a Democrat, we're supposed to not burn gas, and it's bad for everything. He's going to drive a 5,600-mile campaign road trip all across Texas, 49 days. It shows you he doesn't have much else to do. But that's out in the news today, as if that's actual news. Former state rep Tom Ramsey passed away, the House announced. He represented Wood County, Red River, Titus, and some other counties, 92 to 203. I knew him. Rest in peace. More in a moment.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
It's the real talk of Texas with the authentic accent thrown in free. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. You know, I've got so many things just in the general stack. It could do two or three shows. Hopefully we'll work them in during the week. I did wanted to get to what this headline, it's a major Associated Press piece put out. It's a big study from the Howard Center for Investigative Journalism at the University of Maryland. And I look at this and I say, funny, this is news? Or is it just proof that Democrats and the left do indeed live in an alternate universe and they're just now waking up to this? I remember the, you Christian conservatives, you bunch of blah, 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 back when, you know, there was opposition from religious people to state-sponsored gambling, the lottery. How many of you thought that this was news? State lotteries transfer wealth out of needy communities? A nationwide investigation of state lotteries by the Howard Center, I already told you that, University of Maryland, found lottery retailers are disproportionately clustered in lower-income communities in nearly every state. You needed a study for that? And this line, the investigation's analysis of cell phone location data shows the people who patronize those stores come from the same kinds of communities. Really? Do you know only five states don't have a lottery now? Hey, it goes on. It's a major, a multi-page thing. Alabama, Alaska, Hawaii, Utah, and Nevada lack lotteries. I wish Texas didn't have one either, but that's another matter. You go in there to buy a Coke and you're in a hurry and you got to stand behind somebody who wants to do 70 scratch-off tickets and do them right there at the deal. They pointed out $29 billion a year losses from poor communities mostly. Says, I thought this was interesting. In popular imagination, the lottery is funded by people who spend a few dollars on Powerball tickets when the jackpot gets big. It's not true. More than two-thirds of all lottery sales are of instant scratch-off tickets, which range in price from $1 to $50. A sliver of players are responsible for most of that spending. Isn't this amazing? This is news to them. Wasn't this the arguments made when a lot of people opposed having a lottery? By the way, I'm not against gambling. I like freedom. This is state-sponsored gambling, and it gives people the sense, the idea that it's somehow safe. Well, I mean, it's, I guess it's safe in the sense the ticket's not going to blow up in your hand and blow your finger off like a firecracker. Millions of play, all the players lose on average 35 cents for every dollar they spend. And in her quote, one of the people they talked to is just typical when you deal with people. Quote, yesterday I spent like 130 and I won like 85. No, you didn't win 85. You had a loss of $45, net loss. And that's the point. That's how slot machines work too. They pay back a certain percentage and people just in their brains don't work. They think they're winning. I'm not, look, we bought them once in a while for fun when we're traveling or something. I don't know if I've ever bought a scratch off. I can't remember. But nevertheless, this is just amazing to me that this is major news, that the poor people are where the lottery's money spent, because that's what those leftists probably at University of Maryland and at the Associated Propagandists, you know, they hate us. That's what those conservative Christians were talking about way back when they opposed lotteries being founded. And Ann Richards lied about it going to education. And that's one of the reasons she lost the governor's, lost her re-election to George W. Bush. It was such a lie and exposed. Their story, by the way, exposes the same thing, that in all the states they told you it was going to go to education, but it's a lot of bull. And they talk about it. Hey, today in history, Texas history, this is when, on 11th of July, 1838, James Collinsworth, his name was Collinsworth, the county named after him is misspelled into Collingsworth, but they say it Collinsworth. He jumped off the boat in Galveston Bay and drowned. He was candidate for the presidency of the Republic of Texas, along with Mirabeau Lamar and Peter Grayson. He had been at the Brazoria Convention of 1836, signed the Declaration of Independence, later served as Houston's aide-de-camp, served in the Senate of the Republic, and first Chief Justice of the Republic of Texas. Did a lot of stuff. Death occurred less than 2 weeks after the announcement of his candidacy for president. Everybody thought back then it was a suicide. We don't know. His body lay in state in the Capitol, which was in Houston at the time. And in 1876, the ledge named Collinsworth County in his honor, though they misspelled his name. It doesn't have the G in it. It's just Collinsworth. It's also the day in 1985, Nolan Ryan of the Astros at the time became the first major league pitcher to earn 4,000 strikeouts in a career. And in 1949, Texas Governor Buford Jester died while traveling to Houston. He was the first Texas governor to die in office. And it's the date, 1919, of the disgraceful, disgusting Longview race riots where Democrat racist, you know, the Hobby family, Governor Hobby, ordered the Texas Rangers and National Guard to the scene, declared martial law, which was probably needed. But they arrested a lot more black men than they did white men, and then nobody was ever tried. There were, by the way, race riots all over the country, mostly up north on that that exact time over things that were going on, and Texas was run by the Democrats, who were the inventors, the defenders of slavery, the inventors of Jim Crow. That includes Mr. Hobby and the enforcers of Jim Crow. All right, my friends, our look at Texas history sponsored by USA Investigations, providing surveillance, security, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and much more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. There's a lot of fun things and not so fun things in the big stack. The general stack, I've got to get to the border stuff because there's a lot going on this. I think that there was a really good summary in the Texas Minute from the Texas Scorecard today that just sums it all up in border points. Let me get to some other headlines. 18 illegal aliens arrested in remote West Texas border region. They were wearing camouflage. We found them because of our high-tech aircraft. The Border Patrol aircraft got them. Point is, this is about the fifth story I've seen in the last month where they're wearing fairly sophisticated modern desert camo gear. So, they just stepped the deal up, but they don't realize the heat-sensing stuff got them. Migrants' life saved by Border Patrol agents on West Texas Ranch. Barely responsive, a male subject, heat distress. Brackettville Station EMT agents responded, and person's alive. And then another one was rescued in Brooks County, where 55 have been found dead this year. The acting chief there of the Border Patrol said another life saved. Falfurrias agents responded, located individuals lost, need of medical attention. They got fluids and all that. And he was, of course, we're paying for all the, you save a life, but it's just more of the cost. All these folks being paid for by the taxpayer. We shouldn't have a border that they can just walk across like this in. 26,000 illegal aliens apprehended in Texas-based border sectors in 6 days. Bob Price and Randy Clark writing today at Breitbart, Texas. Border Patrol agents in the 5 Texas-based border sectors apprehended nearly 26,000 illegal aliens during a 6-day period ending on July 9th. Nearly 10,000 of those crossed in a single border town. And again, Breitbart never wants to get on this and point it out, but here's the thing. In response to the growing border crisis, Governor Greg Abbott, they like to rah-rah the governor. Abbott orders law enforcement, National Guard soldiers to arrest migrants and return them. Well, not the, just return them to the border, the port of entry, which is no different than handing them back over to the Border Patrol out in the field. But nevertheless, and then, so they have to brag on the governor, but they don't realize that they're pulling the rug out from under themselves. The massive influx of migrants into the Del Rio sector is indicated nearly by nearly 10,000 migrants crossing into Eagle Pass during this same period. It's busiest in the nation, outstripping the Rio Grande Valley right now in that period. Folks, and 70% were single adults. Folks, that's the center deployment of Operation Lone Star from the beginning. And it's where we have the most people crossing. This program from the governor is just a disaster. It's a disaster. And there was a piece out at Texas Public Policy Foundation where they're wanting to pat the governor on the back, but even they point out, while we commend the governor for his positive step forward, Texans shouldn't forget this means they're now paying for border security twice, once for federal government to not do its job and twice for Texans to do it for them. Problem is, we're not doing it for them, and they point that out. They try to put lipstick on a pig on this new expansion, but there's no way to really do it. It's still a pig. We're not getting rid of anybody or slowing anybody down.
During the break, log on to PrattOnTexas.com.
Ransomware or a virus can completely shut down your business. But with managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Service, you can have the assurance of the world's best virus protection and do so without bloated software that slows your workstations. Jeff Barker Computer Service keeps your machines protected and is there to help if something goes wrong. Get the best, most efficient virus protection from Jeff Barker Computer Service. Visit jbcs.com, jbcs.com, to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you.
Corley Demo and Construction is ready to clear and excavate for your house or commercial building foundation pad. Excavation down to 10 feet, plumbing and electrical trenching too, and dump trucks to haul dirt in or out. Corley Demo and Construction cleans it up and levels it off right. Free estimates. Contact us today at CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com. Quality work, quality cleanup. CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com. CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com.
Comfort matters, and so does the safety and sanitation of your home and office. The family at Hart Heating and AC can help you make your home and your life cleaner and more comfortable. Visit HartHeatingAndAC.com and learn about modern, effective, whole home humidity control, UV light filtration, and other services that make your home healthier and happier. Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Get healthier and happier. Hart, H-A-R-T, HeatingAndAC.com.
License DACLA 1229 OE.
You've heard about their politics all day. Now it's time for ours. It's Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I've often mentioned to folks all kinds of things about the Port of Brownsville, the Port of Corpus Christi. Realize, because if you're from the part of Texas where most of our listeners are from, I mean, you're hundreds and hundreds of miles away from maritime industry. And people forget, for example, you know, the Port of Houston, one of the most important economic engines, all those waterways, the intracoastal waterway. It's just, it's out of sight, out of mind. And people think of it as a place to go on vacation. They'd forget how much of the nation's economy, and of course, what makes Texas such an economic powerhouse, comes from all of this. I've mentioned the Port of Brownsville and its upgrades over the last many years, and most all of this has come under the leadership of Eduardo Campirano. Campirano grew up in this area, and he has been one heck of a CEO and port director of the Port of Brownsville. And there's a lot going on down there that affects the Texas economy. And the Rio Grande Guardian put out a sort of a port special email today of a collection of stories over the last few days, because there was a big event there that a lot of folks came and spoke to. And he talks about all the changes since he became director in 2007, where they were trying to go. And he says, as you know, the port's undergone many changes in its 86-year history. The ship channel has actually undergone many modifications since the initial depth of 25 feet. From these very docks, Valley produce was loaded onto ships, items like onions, citrus, and cotton. I have memories as a little boy coming here to watch the banana boats coming in and unloading bananas and other tropical fruits like pineapple. We were known as the shrimp capital of the world. We were also the number one cotton port in the nation. Today, the port's well known for shipbuilding. You know that? Yeah, shipbuilding capability. It's ship recycling legacy. That's why we keep getting the famous military ships towed into the port of Brownsville for taking apart, for shipbreaking. And is a vital multimodal center for the movement of many commodities, including steel, refined petroleum products, and wind energy components. The channel deepening project, which they've just kicked off, from 42 to 52 feet, is the most significant in all the prior channel modifications. We're deepening the channel to 52 feet. This will continue to sustain the port's future. It'll recapture the port's glory as being an important hub for the exportation and importation of agriculture products. We'll expand our markets to new cargoes and new destinations. Most importantly, we'll continue to propel the port standing as the major economic engine of the region of South Texas. And it is. And folks, what that does is you can put a lot bigger ships, a lot heavier ships in there. And that's very important. And there's stuff nearby, the little tiny port of Mansfield in Raymondville. There was a, they had a piece Steve Taylor wrote that Ron Mills, the Willacy County Navigation Director, District Director, in an interview exclusive with the Rio Grande Guardian, said that he expects their little port to be between, moving between 250 to 300 million of trade within the next 3 to 5 years. Said that's because the Army Corps of Army Engineers dredged the port ship channel. It was previously just a cut in the South Padre Island sand barrier, only 3 feet deep, barely enough for small fishing boats. Now, thanks to the Corps' work, it has a depth of 17 feet, which allows ocean-going barges and tugs to enter. He says there are various types of programs. I can't go into details, but it's probably about $40 million in initial investments in this little Raymondville. I expect it to bring about somewhere between $250 and $300 million over the next 3 to 5 years. They're working with several companies and about to sign paperwork. He can't tell what it is. But he said the state's already funded a lot of this. The Corps came in. The state's doing with the queuing yard, 5-acre container lots, myriad of stuff, he called it. And, you know, these ports, and the, you know, you've seen what the problem is in California and these other places. We need to, it's time. And mainly because, look at this other piece. You know, we know about liquefied natural gas, and a lot of people are getting schooled on it now that Europe finally realized they don't need to be dependent on Russia for their natural gas. And, of course, we've been reporting on this giant boom in exporting liquefied natural gas with Cheniere and other companies in the Texas and Louisiana coast for years, talking about every new major project. Well, one of the speakers at this big event they had for the kicking off the dredging of the Port of Brownsville, to the deepening of the ship channel, was this guy named Keen. He is the Senior Vice President of Policy and Corporate Affairs for Next Decade. As many of you know, the Port of this is remarks. The Port of Brownsville is the only deep water port located on the U.S.-Mexico border. It provides a full range of maritime services to ensure an efficient and timely cargo delivery worldwide. This is one of the reasons Next Decade chose this location to build what will be, when fully operational, the largest liquefied natural gas export facility in the United States of America. As you know, demand is growing rapidly. For example, to date, liquefied natural gas, LNG, demand is about 440 million tons per annum. That number could increase to more than 660 tons by 2030. I think it'll be higher. Meaning the market might need multiple LNG facilities the size of Rio Grande LNG to meet growing global demand. While a major source of growth is Europe due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine and a number of European countries seeking to replace Russian gas with LNG, don't forget the Asia-Pacific region. According to the Gas Exporting Countries Forum, Asia-Pacific will account for the highest share of global gas imports in 2050. Asia's home to the fastest-growing middle class in the world. They're hungry for energy. Rio Grande LNG product is expected to offer one of the most competitively priced, lowest carbon-intensive LNG products in the world. They're going to make it the most sustainable LNG export projects by combining mission reductions associated with carbon capture and storage project and all kinds of other stuff. They use net zero electricity. For example, they said they're going to expect to reduce the plant's greenhouse gas emissions by more than 5 million tons per annum. All that stuff I don't really care about, but everybody likes that. It says, just during the 4 years of construction in the Rio Grande LNG project, just the construction is expected to increase the GDP in Cameron County alone by $6 billion, in Texas by $23 billion, and the U.S. as much as $35 billion. He said those numbers was based on a study done in 2015, so the numbers have increased since then. We'll be doing another study I'll share with you when it's completed, he wrote. This is a big deal, and it's something that we often forget about. These kind of infrastructure things do matter, and they're the key to industry. And if you, the LNG stuff, there are more LNG facilities needed. Biden has become is very unfriendly to all this. You know, we've turned Corpus Christi from being an import port for oil and gas to an export port for oil and gas. And Texas, folks, this is our product. We're awash in gas. We've got so much gas, it's just shocking. We can be feeding the world, but we've got to elect people who don't screw it up. And here's another thing. Why are these people Democrats down there? I've been reading about the problem with the shrimping industry. Big story, new shrimp season tangled up in regulations. Dateline Port Isabel. Plate of fried shrimp people enjoy at a restaurant, whether locally or away from home, could either be taken off the menu or cost a lot more, and they mean a heck of a lot more. Why? The expected arrival of hundreds of people who traditionally work on the boats known as shrimp headers is on halt. Try it, even though the 2022 season's about 2 weeks away. Up to last year, some 300 seasonal workers, mostly from south of the border, from Mexico, have been keeping the industry afloat. A lot of these people have the expertise. They've been working for decades in the business. But Biden administration has curtailed the H-2B visas for them to work. Biden, the Democrat Party, they go into all this stuff. Of course, because they're a bunch of liberals down there and Democrats, they don't point it out. It's Biden. The Biden administration has chosen to try to destroy the shrimp industry. It's shocking when you read the piece because it's typical leftist stuff. Oh, no, it's not letting non-foreigners come in. No, they're telling you, you can only have foreigners from Haiti and this place and this place who have no experience and don't have the institutional knowledge, but you can't have anybody from Mexico or Nicaragua who's been doing the job for you for decades. It's just amazing, and yet they keep voting Democrat. Maybe there's hope. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.